Hello, 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 and welcome to the latest episode of Burnoutology, the podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler. Thank you very much for joining me again. If you are a first-time listener, you are very, very welcome. This is Burnoutology. This is my own permission slip to let go of perfectionism. This is unscripted, unedited, uncut. This is brain dumping. You might hear background noise. You might hear all sorts of stuff going on in the background. You might hear the oohs, the ahs, the ahs, the ums, the silences, all sorts of that stuff. But this is Burnoutology, as I said, my very own permission slip to give myself permission to let go of perfectionism. And today, in this episode of Burnoutology, we are talking about recovery performance. Recovery performance. This is Burnout Truth number 12. And what this means, this is when, and we've all seen this, right? I've seen this on my feed many, many times, but this is faking the healing journey for the feed, right? I've seen this so often, and I think this is one of those things, like when you see it, you can't unsee it. But yeah, recovery performance, what it really means is when you are faking your healing journey for the feed. How to spot it. This is all of the well-lit journaling shots, the self-care Sunday reels, and yet you're still numb underneath it all. And why it matters is because recovery is not content. It's not public, and it is never perfect. So recovery performance, this is what we're talking about today. Now, I'm going to give a bit of a caveat with this one. In that, I think sometimes we have to, have is the wrong word, but I think sometimes we will start working through burnout before we come through the other side. And we do need to, because recovery, as we've talked about in many previous episodes, recovery can take years. And if we were to wait until we were fully healed, fully recovered, before we started talking about this stuff or doing the work or sharing anything, we wouldn't get very far. I've just dropped my papers all over the place. And again, I don't usually have a lot of papers, but I've got my 200 truths on my lap so that we can start to work through all of these titles. That's about as much as my notes go. But I've just dropped them all over the floor. There we go. So yeah, so recovery can take a really, really long time. But I think, again, what I'm seeing a lot of, particularly relating to this recovery performance, lots of, and I'm seeing this more so actually with coaches and entrepreneurs than I am with those that are internal. So if you are working as a coach and you want to start to be burnout aware, I'm talking directly to you for this one, but really for anybody that is experiencing this or feeling this, really. Lots of people go through burnout or what they think is burnout. They have a month or a couple of months off. And then all of a sudden, they're in this recovery performance, right? They're like, oh, I'm fully healed. I saw this with a woman a couple of months ago. I had known of her, I suppose, in my business circle for a number of years. I know a couple of other women within my circle had connected with her. She had a particular business. And then came the posts across her LinkedIn feed about, I've experienced burnout and this is what you need to be doing. And I'm doing this keynote about what you need to be doing to recover from burnout. And she was running sessions and doing keynote talks about recovery. But I could see and sense and feel within the posts that she was doing and how she was performing on stage, that she was really talking about this stuff, particularly also giving hints and tips to different people about what they should be doing to recover from their own burnout before she had even really begun to scratch the surface of her own recovery. And I commented on a couple of her posts, and then I had a conversation with her, I suppose, offline, right, to understand kind of where she'd been through, but also really to talk about the content that she was putting out there, for this exact reason that I'm so passionate about awareness and education in the first place, because we can end up doing more harm than good. And she kept saying, you know, I've just done this talk and these are the tips that I've given for burnout prevention, and these are the tips that I'm giving for burnout recovery. None of what she was sharing would have helped anybody on the brink of or coming through burnout. But she's like, well, they've helped me. They've helped me. I can tell by her energy. I can tell by the way in which she's positioning. She's taken a few months off. And now this is really like this is a way for her to get a few more views on her content, right? This is how she's going to get more people talking about it, because she's like, oh, I've just experienced burnout and this is what I'm doing to have the breakthrough. I've just experienced burnout and I've had to take 3 months off my business and now this is what I'm doing to really come back with a bang. And so some of this is about, right, the nervous system hustle that we talked about in the last episode. Some of this is the glow up collapse that we talked about a couple of weeks before. But this particular one is recovery performance. It is while when we see this faking of the recovery, right? The fake it until we make it. If I keep saying I'm healed and if I keep saying I'm recovered, then I will be okay. If I take the pictures, the kind of brilliantly, beautifully filtered Instagram pics of me on my yoga mat or with my journal or out for a walk or sitting by a lake, you know, like this is now what burnout recovery looks like. And actually a lot of the burnout recovery is the stuff that's invisible. It's the stuff that we don't see. It is the deep inner work. It is the nervous system reset. And I suppose we talked about, again, in Nervous System Hustle last week, I invited you to, I didn't even invite you. I said, grab a cuppa, sit there for 10 minutes and then journal in the podcast companion, right, about what comes up for you. So that kind of stuff is the stuff that isn't going to be on your Instagram feed. If there are videos or pictures of me journaling or on my yoga mat, or sometimes when I'm walking the dog, I might just say, oh, there's a video there that I just want to capture. So sometimes, of course, this stuff is in the moment. I'm also 12 years out of this stuff. A lot of the hard work, a lot of the inner work, a lot of the invisible work I have done and I've come through and I'm continuing to go through. On the day that I'm recording this, I've had my therapy session again this morning. I'm still working through some of this stuff. I'm still dealing with some of the, I don't know, some of the like the deeply ingrained stuff that came from everything that I experienced with my first and my second burnout. We are constantly changing. We go through different cycles, and even some stuff that I thought I had dealt with and healed from with other coaches relating to burnout. Of course, it's all layered, right? So I think this is one of the things that I've realized about this path of self-discovery. It's never bloody ending, right? Literally never ending. Sometimes you think you've nailed it. You think you've cracked it. You're like, yes, I know exactly who I am. And then something else comes, doesn't it? Bites you on the arse. And you think, where the hell was that? Like, I thought I dealt with that stuff 10, 15, 20 years ago. And there it is, stood in front of you, waving at you again. Like, did you think you'd gotten rid of me? So we do have to keep plug it. Well, we don't have to. Of course, we do. We do have a choice. We can just leave it. We can ignore it. We can leave it to fester. We can know it's there and not do anything with it, or we can start to work through it. And I'm constantly working through this stuff. Whether it's, I was going to say whether it's doing me any good or not. I know it is. I know. I feel that little bit better every day. And again, the therapy that I'm working with at the moment, I started with this specifically to help me to overcome or to help me manage a lot of this pain that I'm experiencing as I'm waiting for my operation. This pain that I've been going through for the last 10 months and the operation that I've got in just a couple of weeks now. But the pain was getting me into a really dark place. I wasn't liking where I was going and thought I need some therapy to help me with this. So went back into therapy. I'm into the couple of months now, maybe more than a couple of months, that I've been working with this particular therapist. And I found myself this morning talking about stuff that I thought I had dealt with and like fully dealt with, would never have to really be talking about it again in relation to my first burnout. Now, it's not to say when I talk about this and when I'm talking about it on stages and working about it, when I'm training coaches in the Burnout Academy, I'm never pretending to be the finished article. I very rarely, if you see anything that I do, I very rarely say, this is what I did to help me through my burnout, right? Here are these two things that you need to do. I from an education awareness perspective, I am talking about what I know to work based on the learning and the training and the education and the research and the studying and the fact that I've coached over 700 leaders through burnout. All of these things are things that when I am saying this is what we need to be doing for burnout prevention and awareness, it's coming from research and study. It's coming from proven techniques. It's coming from proven ways of working. A lot of the people that are in this recovery performance, a lot of the coaches that are in this recovery performance talking about, I did this thing, you know, I pushed too hard, I've taken 3 months out of my business and now I'm back and now I've got all of the answers to help you recover from burnout. If what they had experienced was burnout, they haven't fixed that in 3 months. And they certainly haven't done it by taking some time out, doing a bit of journaling, not being fully engrossed in their business every day. And then 3 months later, they're fixed. Everything's done for them. And now all of a sudden they're burnout experts. I'd love to say it was that easy for everybody. I'd love to say that it only takes us a couple of months. But if from crash to recovery, you're telling me it's taken you 3 months, you're in this recovery performance. And as far as I am concerned, you are faking your healing journey for the feed. You're doing it for likes. You're doing it for content. You're doing it for followers. You're doing it for sympathy. You're doing it for attention. By all means, say, I experienced burnout. Share your story. There is so much power in our story. But if you're positioning yourself as, this is what I did, this is what I've done to recover, this is now what makes me an expert, and you now need to listen to my hints and tips and then buy my next course so that you don't have to experience this again, so that your coaching practice can be amazing, so that your business can be fantastic. If that's what you're pitching, I'm not buying. I can spot it. Now, I've been doing this work for a long time. I can spot it a mile off. Sometimes, as part of this recovery performance, sometimes we think we've healed because we've got ourselves to a point where we can go back to work. And we think, okay, I'm back at work. I'm going to continue with a bit of the self-care. And now I want to start talking to other people about it. But a lot of the time we're going back to work before we're truly ready. And again, this recovery takes a really long time. Burnout recovery, again, it's not linear. You don't necessarily just get better and better and better. It's not like every single day I start to feel a little bit better. There can, of course, there is that. You can and do start to feel a little bit better every day. But then something might change and you might find yourself going back 10 steps. Where did this come from? You might find that some really unexpected things come and smack you in the face. And you think, where on earth has that come from? I'm not quite sure what's happening. I don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't understand what I'm experiencing. I don't understand what's going on. Have I lost my mind? You might start to feel that you've gone a little bit crazy. You might start to think that there's something wrong with you. And this back and forth and back and forth, 5 steps forward, 10 steps back, 6 steps forward, 2 steps back. It's not a linear process. It comes in peaks and troughs. I did a live a couple of weeks ago with one of my friends, Michelle. Michelle was years ago, she came to me as one of my clients and literally stalked me and stalked me and stalked me after our coaching relationship until I became her best friend. We do joke about it, but literally, like, my professional boundaries are watertight. She's the only ever person that has snuck in, and she was extremely persistent. But, you know, she mentioned on our live a couple of weeks ago that even now, like, this is kind of 5, 6, 7 years after her first burnout, and she will still sometimes have nightmares about the work situation that she was in. This is 5, 6, 7 years later. And she, like, where has that come from? Why is that happening? So we can start to talk about our recovery, but this recovery performance is honestly, it is this when we're faking it, right? We're faking it for the feed. I suppose a similar example to this, and when I say kind of faking it for the feed, I want to say, was it during lockdown? I don't think it was during lockdown. It must have been 2021. Whilst I'm kind of thinking that out loud. Again, this is how my brain went. I knew I had the conversation with her when I was in the garden. I could tell you what I was wearing. I can tell you it was a beautiful sunny day. I can tell you I was walking around my garden. I can tell you all sorts of stuff that was happening. And I was like, but what year would it have been? It wasn't lockdown at all. So 2021, it was a family member, and they rang me, and they were on maternity leave. And they had been struggling. They struggled with the last couple of months of their pregnancy. And they had good days and bad days. Again, no diagnosis. From my own personal experience, I would say there was some postnatal depression. This family member and I had a number of different conversations and talking about her, maybe just speaking to a doctor or a therapist about how she was feeling. But I remember this particular day, we spent 90 minutes on the phone to each other. She was talking to me about how she wanted to be back at work, how she wasn't enjoying a maternity leave, how she was worried that she wasn't being a good enough mum. But, she was craving adult conversation. She was craving something other than crying and nappies. And she wanted to get back to work early, and she was going to speak to her boss about shortening her maternity leave. But she kept saying just how much she was struggling. She was struggling at home. She felt like she was struggling to connect. She felt like she was struggling with her time off. She was going to speak to her partner. They decided that they were going to do some kind of shared parental leave and split some of her maternity leave for her partner to take some. And so she'd been having these conversations, I'm going to see if he can bring it forward. We're going to have this conversation. We're going to do this, that, and the other. But she cried a few times during this 90-minute conversation, kept saying how much she was struggling. And when we had finished the phone call, on her Instagram, within 10 seconds of us finishing the call, maybe a little bit more than 10 seconds, that was it. That was an exaggeration, naughty Kelly. But within a few minutes of us finishing this phone call, I'd sat down in the garden and was just going through my Instagram feed. And there she was with a picture of her and her daughter. And the caption read, like, everything was perfect. Everything was amazing. She was loving life. She was loving being a mum. Isn't life amazing? This is the best thing that could have ever happened. Not one thing in that post reflected any of the 90-minute conversation that we had just had. Not one thing. None of the reality of it. Now, there's something here, and I say this to everybody. Right, all of us, whatever social platform we're on, whether we're using LinkedIn as a business platform, whether we're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is that we're sharing, if we are on a social media platform, we choose what we share, right? We choose what we put out into the world. And that post that my family member posted after our 90-minute conversation as I said, did not reflect the last 90 minutes that we'd spoken about. It was a moment in time, and maybe as she took that picture, maybe something had changed in her head as I'd been listening and she'd been talking. But that picture was an instant, right? A snap. And then the seconds or the minutes that it took to write the caption and then post. So that was one moment out of a 24-hour period. So what the world sees, and this is the bit that for me is really important when we talk about this recovery performance, because actually what we choose to share is usually our highlights, right? Social media is usually our highlight reel. So what we choose to share on our highlight reel, other people see as our reality. Now, from my perspective, and this is just me, but if that family member, by all means share the same picture, but had said, "I've just had a really frank and honest conversation, I'm really bloody struggling," for me, that would have landed better than trying to paint the perfect picture, because it would have been honest. And when it comes to recovery performance, in a lot of this is what's missing. Because we see posted the well-lit journaling shots. We see the self-care Sunday. And look at me, I'm paddleboarding, I'm walking, I'm doing yoga, I'm meditating, I'm doing whatever. Like, look at my healthy breakfast. We choose to share that snapshot. And yet we do so knowing that we're still numb underneath. And that's the energy that I pick up from a lot of these posts when I can see that it's recovery performance that is filling my feed. And the energy that goes behind that is very, very different. So you and I might have a conversation and you might say, "I'm really, really struggling." But if 10 minutes later, your Instagram or your LinkedIn or whatever other social platform it is you're using is like, "Look at me, I'm all recovered. Here's my 10 tips and here's the program that you need to buy." If you're missing those important pieces, if you're only putting it out there as your highlight reel, that's where I struggle with this recovery performance. Because the faking is harmful to others. This is why we need burnout aware coaches that fully understand what burnout is and what it isn't, and what it takes to go through this recovery journey and how long this recovery journey takes. Because we can all, particularly if somebody is at high stress, if somebody is feeling vulnerable, if somebody's on the brink of burnout, if somebody's coming through burnout and they just see, I eat, you know, here's my self-care Sunday, here's my bath, my ice bath, my walk, my yoga, my journaling, my meditation, whatever, and now I feel 10 times better, and this is how I healed my burnout, that person, where none of that stuff is working for, where they've done the yoga, it's making no difference. When they've done the meditation, it's making no difference. Remember a couple of episodes back, I talked about all of the things that I was doing between burnout one and burnout two that I thought was genuinely helping me. If we only post about that stuff, then the person that sees that in their feed, the person that really needs it and then thinks, "So it's not working for me, so I then must be the problem," that's where this recovery performance can really start to do a lot of harm. And we don't want to be harming people. We want to be helping people. So if we are healing in plain sight, I don't know if I've shared this with any of you, but as part of whilst I'm waiting for this operation, and whilst I suppose because I have been experiencing so many challenges around this operation, I thought I can't be the only person experiencing this. So I set up a little TikTok account, a separate TikTok account, to talk about my condition, to talk about my preparation in the run up to my operation, and if I've got the energy and I feel okay to do it, then to also talk about my recovery. Because for me, awareness is important. And so I'm talking about the challenges and I'm talking about the struggles and I'm talking about that. I'm not out there painting a perfect picture going, this is my life and this is what I'm doing. Because the people only looking at that account only see me related to that condition. People see what we choose to share. If we're only showing the fakeness, the highlight reel, that's what other people choose to see. That's what other people do see. So, of course, we have a choice. We don't want everything to be doom and gloom. Of course, we don't want everything to be doom and gloom. There's enough of that out there in the world already. And I realise this episode is probably going into a bit more of the doom and gloom category. But we need to be having more of these honest kinds of conversations. Because the highlight reels, the faking, is not helping those people that are at burnout. It's just not. And I just feel as coaches, you know, if we want to raise awareness, if we want to do this work, we need to be talking about the whole reality. We need to be talking about how long recovery takes. We need to be talking about the hurdles. We need to be talking about the reality of what healing looks like and what recovery looks like. And we need to be talking about the impact on our energy. We need to be talking about all of that stuff. We need to be understanding how long the recovery journey is. But when we are truly aware, we see the difference between the authentic content, the real content, the truthful content, and we see the stuff that's just out there with a bit of, hey, I'm going to share this anyway because I want a few more likes, maybe a little bit of sympathy. But actually, I'm not going to talk about all of the scary crap that I'm doing at home and the fact that once I've written this post, I then go and cry under my desk for 15 minutes. I don't want anybody to see that bit. Now, you probably, and I've always said this for years, on my down days, it's very, 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 very unlikely that you're ever going to see a picture of me on my down day. And not because I'm hiding it, but because on my down, my really, really down days, there's not one part of my brain that thinks, do you know what would be really great today, Kelly? Why don't you get your phone out, snap a selfie and post a caption, right? There's no part of me that thinks that. But I might think the next day, actually, it would be really useful for somebody to know about the crash that I had yesterday. I need to talk about, you know, I think it would be useful for somebody else to understand that yesterday I spent all day crying in my bed, and let's talk about that. But you're probably not going to ever see, I'm not going to say never ever, because it may happen one day. But on my very, very down days, I'm not thinking now would be a great time to do a video to raise awareness and educate people. But the following day or a couple of days later, like, oh, you know, that was a really awful crash. I feel it's my duty to kind of share this stuff. Because again, a lot of my feed, you know, is me in my bright clothing, in my bright lipstick, talking to the camera, educating, sharing, all of that sort of stuff. Sometimes you need to see the days that that's not happening. And sometimes those days aren't video days. Sometimes those days are, here's a picture and here's a caption where I'm going to talk about it. But as recovery performance, we need to be really mindful of it as coaches, as individuals that are experiencing it. Sharing our healing and our recovery before we've really started to heal or recover, sharing some of those hints and tips can be quite harmful. That doesn't detract. I don't want anybody to stop sharing their story. Stories matter. I'm gathering stories. I have gathered stories for Burnout Ends Here, the next book that I'm doing, which is a compilation of other people's burnout stories. I want to be able to film a documentary next year around people's burnout stories. I want to involve some professionals in part of that burnout story, right? I want to ensure that we have got all of this in place. So I'm not saying don't share your story. I am saying if you are sharing your recovery for likes and comments and followers, I am pleading with you to think about the morals and ethics of what you are doing, to think about the danger that you could be sharing, to think about the way in which you could be hooking other people in that genuinely need some real, real, real help with their support. And if they're just looking at your feed and go, that's not working for me, so I must be the problem, the knock-on effect that that may have of them. That's all the awareness that I want you to think about and consider. So that is recovery performance, what it really means. Faking your healing journey for the feed, how to spot it is well-lit journaling shots, self-care Sunday reels, but still being numb underneath it all. And why it matters is because recovery is not content, it's not public, and it's never perfect. That has been this episode of Burnoutology, the podcast. Thank you very, very much for joining me. New episodes land every Tuesday, 7 a.m. UK time. If you have found this useful, give it a like, give it a share, give it a comment. Let me know your feedback. Again, keep your messages coming. I'm loving them all. But yeah, if you want to publicly give it a bit of a like and a share and a comment, that all of that helps to feed the algorithm and to let people know that they need to be listening to this too. So thanks very much for joining me. I'll be back with you again next week for Burnout Truth number 13. I would ordinarily, let me see if I can find what 13 is whilst I've got you here. Shall I? I was like, I've dropped all my papers. I don't know if I can tell you. And I probably can't because it's all gone backwards. So I don't think I can tell you what 13 is. No idea. But I'll be back with you for, here we are. I always try not to let you down, don't I? Number 13. This might be an interesting one for some of you. Burnout Truth number 13 that we'll be talking about next week is Vision Board Vortex. Ooh, Vision Board Vortex. That's what we're talking about next week. That is Burnout Truth 13. Thanks very much for listening this week. Take care, and I will be back with you again next week. See you soon. Bye-bye.